welcome to the Reader's Roundtable podcast, presented by Capital Area District Libraries.
We're back with Reader's Roundtable. I'm Jessica Trotter, and I'm here with Mari Garza, and we're two of your cattle collection development specialists. And we're joined this month at the mic by Cattle Senior Associate Director of Public Service, Jolie Hamlin. Welcome, Jolie. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Hello.
My pleasure.
All right. So, summer readings going.
Yes.
I have just gotten back from vacation, like day before yesterday. I didn't get nearly as much reading done as I wanted to, but I still had, well, it's vacation. So, I mean, it was fine. I was happy with that. But I did get to finally see Captain Marvel on the plane, which I've never actually watched a movie on a plane, so that was interesting.
Nice.
By itself. And I did binge watch Good Omens with my mother, who has Amazon Prime, thank goodness, because I don't. What else have you guys been doing? What have I missed?
Oh, man, I am, like, just really excited that summer reading is up and off, and I've been getting up really early to log my minutes and do some extra reading that I like to do in the morning if I can.
Yeah.
So I'm just really excited that school is out almost for everyone and that we all get to just really celebrate some, I guess, deeper reading that, maybe than what we might normally have time for.
Right. That'd be cool. Yes.
I was just telling these folks that I have a son who's graduating from high school, and I'm sort of in denial. And, you can't really be in denial when you're, like, preparing an open house. So it's a complicated place where I am right now, I guess.
Yep.
But work-wise, helping with summer reading, we're always looking ahead, so we're actually looking and trying to firm up our fall programs already.
Yep.
And working on ordering new titles for story walks.
Yeah, and they're really great ones. I can't wait to see them and some of the parks that we have. Yeah. So
this is later summer? Is that
later summer that we'll have some of the new ones out.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
We have some new story walks sort of in the works, but whether or not they'll all be firmed up and ready to go later this summer, some yes, some maybe next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's always a neat idea just to walk through those.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they're super fun if you haven't seen them.
Right. Yeah, Story Walk, for anyone who doesn't know, is a usually a picture book of some kind that is put behind plexiglass, and there are several stations that you can walk with a little one and read together, just pages from a picture book, and it's just a really fun way to...
And these do count to your summer reading.
Yes, absolutely they do. You spend 10 minutes on that walk, you mark 10 minutes in your log. But I just love that concept of just getting reading everywhere, because reading really does start at birth. And when you're out there with your one-year-old, you see those images, you can read and you can practice in car or boat or whatever is in there. It's a really fun opportunity. We're really thankful for all of our partners who have agreed to host these with us.
Yes, definitely. And it's a way to kind of stay active and be moving a little bit in the summer. So that's just an added benefit.
Our topic actually for this month, it's June is audiobook month. And we did this last year, and we wanted to come back and talk about them again this year. We've got new titles for you that we wanted to share. We all kind of approach audiobooks differently. I think we've talked about this before. I don't do a lot, but I do grab them every once in a while. And I listen to them in the car, but I also listen to them. I will, while I'm working around the house, I'll put one on and listen. So I enjoy them a lot. And actually, I'm going to sneak mine in first, just because this is going back to that binge watching Good Omens. I love Neil Gaiman. This is the way life works. I think I've said this before. I told you about the Cheesecake Factory menu, but. There is a book called The Gates by John Connolly, which is a similar feel to Good Omens. It is a sort of it's really laugh out loud funny. It's about an 11-year-old boy who is trying to show initiative by going trick-or-treating 3 days early. And he finds himself, he just wants to get ahead of the crowd get the good stuff first. But he finds himself going over to his neighbors, and the neighbor's house has a small gap to hell in it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, Good Omens has this angels and demons theme. The Gates is just, the demons are just not with it. Uh-huh. It's really just very funny. He ends up, it's just this long story of the, not long, but fun story of this kid and saving the world from the demons who are trying to escape.
Right.
Hell, and with his trusty pet and eventually a sidekick demon who isn't so bad.
Right.
So it's just one of those things where you're thinking, if you need something between rewatching Good Omens, if you are able to do that, this is one of those good books to start with as a read-alike. And it's part of a series. There's actually about, I think, three of them about this particular character. He's just, and he's lovely. Samuel Johnson is just a lovely young man, and they're funny books.
Sweet.
What else have you guys been reading or listening to?
So I'm just going to give a really quick shout out to two books that I think were just fantastic. And I hope kids find biographies fantastic at some point in their childhood. The first one I have is called Enemy Child, The Story of Norman Mineta, a boy imprisoned in a Japanese-American internment camp. And this is by Andrea Warren. And it was just fascinating to learn a little bit more about the history behind why Japanese families were put into camps, how Norman Mineta's family dealt with that. And you just really get a picture for what it's like to be singled out for your ethnicity and just being brought out and having those, you know, seeing other families who are not put into camps. And many of the children in the Mineta family, they were U.S. born American citizens.
Exactly.
And because their parents were not U.S. born, they had to go to the camps and bring their whole family with them. Mm-hmm. So Norman Mineta, by the way, is started his political career as a mayor of San Jose. He went on to become had a cabinet position in the Clinton years. I think it was Secretary of Commerce. And then he also served with the Bushes, the second Bush president. And I just think that he has a very long history of serving the public. And I think it was, you know, considering where we are with some political members or some members who are serving, it's just a really nice, listen to his life story and how he went on to serve his community and his family, his country, in spite of this thing that happened to him and his family when he was younger. The other one that I want to recommend is also a biography. It's called Sachiko, A Nagasaki Bomb Survivor Story. And this is by, let's see if I have it right, Karen Barzilay Stelson. This is the true story of a 6-year-old Sachiko Yasui, her survival of the Nagasaki atomic bomb.
Wow.
That happened in August of 1945, and just the aftermath, but just what happened to her personally, just like the really personal graphic details that happened to her body physically. And I realize that, you know, some people might think this is hard for kids, but I really want children to appreciate the history of where we've been in the world. And just, you know, the suffering that has gone on with innocent children. I like this because the Miss Yasui, actually, the narrator, there are two narrators. One is taking on the voice of the child, Sachiko as a child, and then two different voices as an adult, like how she's reflecting upon what happened, how she took it in. And, you know, it's definitely something you might think of for classroom use, but if you're looking for opportunities this summer to listen as a family to things that have happened, you know, around the world, this, I really want to recommend this for family. Sachiko, Nagasaki Bomb's Survivor Story. Those are the two biographies I have. Jolie, what have you got?
What do I have? So, as an audiobook listener, I tend to listen to a few, you know, throughout the year in the car, just around town. But then I tend to hear some in our family travels. I think my list this time, I just, when we were talking before we came on, I was like realizing that it's really a mix of some more adult titles, some with crossover appeal to younger teens or thereabouts, but also if you still hanging on to those like family sort of titles that are great for a varied age group and you know, traveling and listening to together. I also was trying to just stick to like newer ones that I haven't, and not talk about the same things that I talked about last time.
I do
had to think about that.
I did have to go back and you know, double check.
I'm so glad we keep notes on these things.
So I just really have just a few, but they're ones that I really am enthusiastic and happy to talk about.
Sure.
I think if anyone hasn't listened to any of the Harry Potter books on audio, that is a really great experience. The American edition is read by Jim Dale, a British actor, and he just does a really awesome job. And like one of the things I sort of appreciate throughout the whole series is, you know, as Harry gets a little older and all the cast of characters and the books sort of move more towards maybe teen readers or older tweens, you know, he has such a like a whimsical and sort of he inspires such a sense of like wonder in the reading. So it still works so well for like a varied family age group. So those, it's just a really well done series of books. I always have to recommend, I know I talked about this one, this author last time, but the Kristen Levine titles. She writes historical fiction, you know, based on real events. Our family has just devoured the two that we have on audio, The Best Bad Luck I Ever Had and The Lions of Little Rock. They're very well read, very engaging stories. They are the sorts of ones that we have checked those out over and over and over again. They're that good and that well read, so they're really enjoyable. Some of the one, I'm just going to mention like one of the ones that's more kind of me as a listener, an adult, Lincoln in the Bardo. It's really awesome. Jessica had mentioned Neil Gaiman, and one of his books is called The Graveyard Book, and this sort of reminds me a little bit of that. Yeah, at least like the topically, there's a little similarity. So this is a book about Abraham Lincoln, sort of in the thick of the Civil War time, when his son, Willie, passed away. And it was, so it is a book that talks about grief a lot, that grief and dealing with that, letting go, knowing, you know, how to process that and really not in some ways processing it. Is definitely a theme. This book is really unique as an audiobook. It has like 150-ish readers. So there's this historical fiction aspect. The son passes away and how Lincoln, you know, dealt with that and like the rest of his, from that point, short life that was left. But it also there's supernatural, a little bit of, I mean, it's a fantastical sort of. The premise is that Willie is stuck in a state similar to purgatory that's called the Bardo. And there's really a battle for his soul to take him, like, where to proceed from here. Is he going to heaven and, like, eternal rest, or is he going to hell? And we get to meet a full cast of characters from that are in the cemetery. And there's a little bit of comic. There's, like I said, history. Often, like, supernatural isn't one of my more favorite topics. And Jessica still likes me, but this one,
it's all right. I can be pretty open about things like that. Yes. Everybody reads what they read. It's
right. I have not read the book, the physical book, but I sort of feel like this might be one that the audiobook might be better.
How can you top the audiobook? Yeah. I mean, the list of speakers.
Yeah.
There's Nick Offerman. There's David Sedaris. Yeah. Megan Mullally. Ben Stiller, Lena Dunham. I mean, it just goes on and on. Susan Sarandon, Bradley Whitford, Bill Hader, Rainn Wilson. I mean, seriously, this list is huge.
Yeah.
I think there's actors. I think there's just friends of the author.
I think
there's Keegan-Michael Key, Don Cheadle, you had said, and Bonnie Turpin and Robin Miles, of course. So known audiobook actors as well as major actors as well as people we've never heard of, but I know that they are, it's a mix of, again, friends, family, extended family.
Yeah. It's very well done. It has a feel almost of being a play. And so those individual characters and tones really take off. I guess I hadn't really thought about this too, but I think about the scene in Thornton Wilder's play, Our Town, that, where people are watching that have passed away are watching their loved ones go on and cope. And it has that
feel to it.
Yeah. And it won the
Audi that year. Yes.
Yes. For 2018. So it's not just us who think it's great.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, speaking of audiobooks that kind of give the feel of being a play or a musical.
Sure.
The one I'm really recommending is Spin, the Rumpelstiltskin musical. This also has a really great cast. Jim Dale is in there. Barrett Letty, Lisa Livesey, Nicola Barber. It was musically directed by Neil Fishman. And this was something I listened to in the car one Saturday when I was running errands. It's two CDs. And I almost got through all of it in just one morning of running around. It was just fantastic because it's the story of Rumpelstiltskin. It's a kind of a new take. I mean, it's updated a bit. You've got Justin Timberlake jokes in there. but what's so fascinating about it is the music and the background. I mean, there's this one refrain about, "Hold on to Jane," that keeps going on. And it is just so fun. So it's, the story of Jane being this daughter who can supposedly spin straw into gold but really can't, and just the whole I just really liked it because it's a very obviously traditional story, fairy tale, that comes to life in a new way. And you've seen that with a lot of live productions of of fairy tales or movies that are kind of being dramatized. So I really like that one, and I think it would be enjoyed by especially families with, youngish to, I don't know, early elementary, early to middle elementary school kids.
I'm going to tell you a secret. Librarians don't always want to come clean that they read romances. I know. So I do, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with everybody knowing that. But it means I'm always trying to come up with romances to do staff picks for. And one that I couldn't get a hold of the book because it was too new, I listened to
Wait a minute. Do you mean the actual call number ROM, those books?
Those books. Yes, it actually has an ROM call number.
Yep, okay. Yep.
It's a real romance. But when it came out, yes, I know you people. No. No, it was one of those ones where I really wanted to read it. I couldn't get an advanced copy of it. It still has a waiting list, but it's available as an audiobook on Hoopla.
Yay.
And no waiting on Hoopla. So if it's there, it's cool. But there's a new book, by Helen Wong, who had the romance of last year with her first book was The Kiss Quotient. This is a follow-up with some overlapping characters, but it's a totally standalone story. Her new book is called The Bride Test. And it's read by Emily Wu Zeller, who I've found, I don't always pay attention to the readers, but when I went to actually make my list, she's a reader on a lot that I've enjoyed. And it's a comedy of errors. It's a strange, it's an inside look at a different culture in a way. It's so basically the main male lead is he's on the spectrum. He has Asperger's, I believe, and he believes he doesn't have feelings. So he doesn't want to get involved with anybody because he doesn't feel, and really it's more that he doesn't show them or isn't able to show them the same way that everybody else is. But, you know, deep, strong feelings definitely there, but he has to get it through his head that, yes, they're real. And his mother wants him married because good Vietnamese mother wants his children married. She goes home without, I know all mothers do, she goes home to Vietnam and starts, without him knowing, starts interviewing women in the hopes of arranging a marriage.
Go, Mom!
And there's this woman who's cleaning at the hotel where these interviews are happening, and these ladies just keep coming into the bathroom crying or mad. And she has no idea what's going on. And she's just, she tries to help, but they're all kind of looking down on her. And there's a, it is a comedy, and it is, there's a lot of heart to it, too. But basically, eventually, the mother comes in, and she's like, oh, these women, they, and she starts just talking to the woman. And the woman is Esme Tran, and she just sort of turns to Esme and says, I like you, after she's kind of been listening to her for a while. And she replies a little bit to it, but she basically, out of the blue, how about I take you to California to meet my son? I'll pay for your trip. And Esme's just not into this whole idea. She has a young daughter. She lives with her mother and grandmother, so she's supporting the family and for the most part. There's the stigma of having a child out of wedlock there. But she's also... She's actually a child out of wedlock as well, and she has an American father. So in a way, her mother is just sort of like, this is your chance to go find your father.
Right.
So she takes her up on it, and it's this, it's misguided seduction, it's misunderstandings, but they ultimately find their way because it is a romance, and it's going to work out eventually. And there will be a lot of laughing along the way and a lot of really screwing up, but eventually it's all going to work out. And it's just, it's a neat story. It's thoughtful, romantic. It's very interesting to have an autistic lead who, you know, people seeing that this is just normal, it is, you know, it's just another way of being, and people can find love, and it's just reaffirming, and but it's also a great romantic comedy.
Right.
So I would highly suggest any of her books, but Zeller does a great reading of this, too.
Awesome. Sweet.
Wow.
Does it prove that mothers always know best or no?
In its own weird way, yes,
okay.
She wins.
Okay.
Yeah. It's down to the last
minute. All right, Jolie, keep that in the back of your mind.
There you go.
You got it. There you go.
Right. Oh, goodness.
Well, another one I've been listening to, is there anyone out there in listening land who likes to walk at night? Get a hold of a really good book, and you will not want to quit after 25 minutes.
Sure.
You'll want to keep walking and walking and walking because you're like listening to
this. That's another way I will.
Super absorbing book, and you're like smiling away, and all the people around you are looking at you like, okay, lady, whatever. So I've been listening to With the Fire on High. This is Elizabeth Acevedo. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Her latest book. She is National Book Award winner and Prince Award winner last year for her Poet X title. Mm-hmm. And this story is also read by her. Really, really great because it's got a teen who is preparing for her future. Her name is Imani Santiago, and she is a teen who got pregnant in her early years of high school, had her baby, who she calls baby girl. It's so cute. She references her quite often in the story. But she's got, you know, a lot of ambition, and she is in a high school that offers her the chance to get into culinary arts. And it's her story of just, you know, trying to go against, like, again, there's a lot of stigma out there. I mean, people really still think that, you know, if a teen gets pregnant, her life is over. That cannot be true. So I'm just really happy that this story is out there, because it's the story of Imani trying to make her way forward, and with the best that to her ability, while still taking care of her daughter, she wants to make her dreams come true. And I really like that this title also, you know, Acevedo or Elizabeth kind of gives you little pictures of, you know, family members, I mean, older women, and how they think about taking care of grandkids who are now helping to also take care of great grandkids. There's her grandmother in the story, and she kind of touches a little bit on, you know, what are the needs of an older woman who has kids living at home, who have had kids, and that sort of thing. I just can't recommend it enough, and it's really funny too, really really funny. A lot of great, I don't know what you would call it. Language that is just, you know, when you're looking to learn new cool phrases, read a teen book, or listen to a teen book, you'll find the new cool phrases.
That one's been on my list.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I got it through Hoopla. If not through Hoopla, then through Overdrive. I can't quite remember how I'm listening to it, but yeah, it's on my iPod. Cool. Really nice book.
They're fairly complimentary.
Yeah.
Because there are things we can't just kind of, so you guys know how this works. I actually order for Overdrive for our consortium, but Hoopla is basically whatever's in their catalog is what is available.
Right.
So when you're looking at the Hoopla catalog, that's everything. There's nothing we can add to it as cattle. Mm-hmm. It's either they've managed to make arrangements with the publishers or not.
Yeah.
Whereas in Overdrive, I can go and purchase a larger range of titles.
Yeah.
But then there's the same sort of, I think I said this last year, it's the biggest pullback is that I can't get, for example, anything from Audible Studio. I can get, every once in a while, I can get some of those things on BC, our compact discs, but for the most part, Audible is very, Amazon is very proprietary about their materials, so if it's done through any of their publishing, I generally can't.
That might
get
be
them.
Why you might not see what you would think we would own.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Being owned.
It's a little heartbreaking because Audible Studios really has an amazing.
They do great, great productions.
Set of productions they get like amazing actors in, but it's just not something we can get a hold of as a library.
Mm. Right.
Yes, so. That is good information. I have a couple more to share. One is Becoming by Michelle Obama.
I'm still waiting on that one.
Yeah, and it's just really nice to hear it from her own voice. I don't know, I felt like, we're sitting down and she's telling me her story.
Yes.
That's a nice, you know, dream. So that was cool. Another one, of course, a lot of people have heard of Bird Box. There's the Netflix movie series, and this is another one that isn't necessarily always like the sort of my sort
you
of
You say
book.
You don't read this stuff.
I know.
But
I know.
You're
that
talking
is
about
true.
It ahead of me.
Right. That's true. Yeah. That is true. But the premise, for folks who aren't familiar with it, it's sort of a post-apocalyptic setting, and this woman has two children. You can't, like, leave your house. You can't look out windows or anything, because there's this world of the creatures, they're called, and you don't really know what happens, even as like a survivor of whatever took place, but you know it's bad and that people go crazy and they die. So, you know, it's a real happy story. But
it's
anyway,
a real creepy, scary story.
Yeah, it's a scary story. And part of the problem, like if you were to go out in the world or like open your windows, there's something that happens with seeing. The main character is, Mallory? I think it's Mallory. And she knows of this other group of survivors, and she wants to get to them. So the kids are old enough, and she's going to take this journey and and brave it. But you can't open your eyes. And she has trained the kids. Even if like somebody opened a window, like something happens bad. So the kids like don't ever open their eyes or anything. And she goes on this journey. And I think part of like it's really well read, but it's also really cool because like you can't like with the audiobook experience, you know, you're not. You're hearing, but you're not seeing. And so it is a creepy book, and there's a creepiness factor that you feel, I think, even more without like the visual. The only other one, this is one I have not read yet, but it's on my next list, is there is a newer version of To Kill a Mockingbird that's read by Sissy Spacek, and I've heard good things about it, but I'm also just really looking forward to it because I can just hear her childlike voice with the sort of southern like twang to it and think, oh, this is gonna be good. So yeah,
nice. Well, I have a couple of J fiction that I'd like to recommend. One of them is called Wish Tree by Catherine Applegate. It's been around for maybe a year or so. The narrator is Nancy Lenari. And this is such a great book. It's kind of grade 5 to maybe grade 8. But it's about an old oak tree, how he's been in the neighborhood for almost 200 years or something like that. And his friend, who's a bird, Bongo, they help their neighbors get along with each other. But not just get along with each other, eventually they come together to help an immigrant family who is kind of being threatened in some way. But it is so fun because there's all sorts of birds and little animal families that live in the tree. And on top of it, the tree, there are developers that are, you know, wanting to sort of tear the tree down. And people are just up in arms about this tree. And the thing about it is it's called Wish Tree because somehow or other in the community, people have decided to come to this tree and leave little notes indicating their wishes. So some, you know, want to get better grades or some want to have a friend. It's just a beautiful, beautiful book. And I think that the bird, Bongo, is probably my favorite character because he's so sarcastic and just funny, and it just comes really alive in the audio telling. So yeah. And then the other one, of course, you can read a book over and over again and still not know it, you know, until when you listen to someone else's take on it. And that would be Charlotte's Web. It was actually read by the author, E.B. White. This was, gosh, probably a year or so ago that I actually listened to it after also having also read it recently and then also as a kid. But it was just beautiful. I mean, I just feel like sometimes the books are they're better than the movie, listening to them or reading them. So those are the two I want to recommend for J fiction.
Well, I've got a couple of nonfiction picks in there on totally opposite ends of the spectrum. The first one, it's come up for something else, is From Here to Eternity, Traveling the World to Find the Good Death.
Oh my gosh, I have been listening to that too. Okay, that is so awesome.
It's just... it's by Caitlin Doherty, and Doty, and it's read by Landis Blair. And again, this is one that I mostly actually kind of put this on while I was working around the house, because it was discs, and that's the only place I have a CD player.
Yeah, there's 5 discs.
but it's Doty is an undertaker, and it's sort of there's a part to it. She actually has other books. So she doesn't go as into detail in this particular one about the back end of her business.
Right.
But this is really her kind of traveling around and witnessing other cultures' end-of-life rituals. And it's fascinating. It's
right.
Going into it with our American view, it can be... I mean, it just can be so very foreign and very interesting.
Right.
There are... You know, I mean, she talks about things that we know little bits about, like the Day of the Dead in Mexico. But she also talks about wish-granting Bolivian skulls People save the skulls.
Netitas.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Zoroastrian sky burials. There's a community actually here in the United States that does funeral pyres. And
right.
It's become so popular that they basically said, we can't have people come.
Right.
You have to own land here.
Yes, because it's kind of a voluntary operation.
Yes.
I mean, they do charge for it, but it's...
But it's minimal. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Right.
It's, for the community, it's pretty much covered.
Right.
But they have people literally moving near the end of their life or buying land in the community.
Right.
Just so they can do this. And it's just... It's... She's really trying to get people to talk about...
Yeah, it had kind of a big bent on cremation or, you know, the process of burning remains and how you say goodbye. I just found it really fast, the Japanese entry and the Spain entry, like how those communities, how they practice, you know, saying goodbye to their loved ones and the way that they go about burying or not burying.
Right. I mean, there's a community where they go back and visit.
Yes,
and
that was very interesting.
I mean, I don't know about going back and having a picnic with, you know, no. So, I mean, but it's our, you know, American.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of, this is what we've been taught is normal. And actually, she points that out, that that's not, it's not. It hasn't been this way for that long. There just really is a giant kind of corporate culture of
we definitely,
death that
it,
we...
I mean, she doesn't talk all that much about the funeral industry, but in America or in North America. But, yeah, you get a picture for, like, wow, this really is... they kind of have a monopoly on how we do death in our communities. And, you know, the funeral
and the thing
industry.
Is, this is actually her second book. She actually has a biography out as well that I think I want to hunt down.
Yeah.
The other nonfiction book that I have is sort of, it's sort of self-helpish, inspirationalist-ish type book, and it's The Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. If you're not familiar with Shonda Rhimes or Shondaland, this is she was the queen of Thursday night TV. She's the showrunner of Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, all of those shows. And it's just, it's sort of a, the book is a result of her sister made an offhand comment that she never does. She never says yes to anything. And for some reason, it's probably happened many times before, but in that particular moment, she realized she kind of was right. She's really, Rhimes is really introverted. She just kind of stuck within her little community. She didn't go out and do things. She didn't do interviews. She just, I mean, she's huge. I mean, she's done all of these things, but she wouldn't go out and do those types of, even the publicity part of if she could help it. So she basically took a year and said, I'm going to say yes to everything. It was sort of the scariest thing she'd ever done. And it's like, so it starts with, she goes on Kimmel, and it's like terrifying. the end goal is she's been asked to do a commencement speech. And again, she's got to get through all of these things first, but eventually she's got to do this commencement speech. It's a fun listen, and she reads it. But it is one of those things, it's just sort of, there's themes of sort of challenging yourself, not putting things off, being your best. Some of it's as simple as, I'm not going to go to the awards show. I'm going to play with the kids because they asked me to. You know, I mean, some of it's really simple, and some of it's really is, I'm going to do the commencement speech at this university. But it's just sort of some ideas for being your best self and going out and not necessarily saying yes to everything, but really thinking through, not automatically saying no to everything.
Right.
And not putting things off because there's just not enough time.
Right. I've just been thinking about that this week. It's like, if you have it within your power to get it taken care of, do it now. Do it quickly. It's just, not just is it relieving, but often the person who is receiving the gift of your time or whatever it is you need to do, they'll just be so grateful and so happy.
Yeah, and it's just sort of, it's like, you know, I had said I'd come off vacation. I forget, I need to do that. You know, right. You know, you need to walk away from even a job you absolutely love. I love buying y'all's books. I really do. Right. It's something I enjoy. But sometimes you just sort of need to walk away and refresh and, you know, don't put those things off either.
Right.
I think, like, and none of those things, like, are your identity. And sometimes we get so
you
busy
think it
and
is.
Wrapped up and you
yes.
feel like it is. And
yes.
it's like, you got to step away from it, like, who am I really? What am I
right.
all about? Why
totally.
Am I doing what I'm doing?
Exactly.
You know? Pause.
So. Yeah. So those. So that one made me think. That one, it was fun. It was interesting to, I am an introvert as well, but I am not that far.
Yes.
I'm
that's
kind of,
where I am too.
The performer style. I can do this talking.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I'm not as much as a kind of lock-in type thing. I do have at least one more fiction book that I want to cover because Jolie has pointed out that I like science fiction and fantasy. And I want to give you one more that I've read, listened to recently. And I'm continuing in the series. And I don't actually know if I've talked about... I've been talking about this so much that I don't know if I've talked about it here before or not. But I'm going to do it anyways. I couldn't find proof that I did, so... and that's The Strange Case of the Alchemist's Daughter. It was a nominee for the Audi. It's read by Kate Redding. This is a book by Theodora Goss. It's the first in a series. And it's... And I really do wonder if I've talked about it before. But it's a mashup. Which could have gone horribly wrong, but it's actually really well done. It's the main character in a large cast is the daughter of Dr. Jekyll. Her mother has just died. They don't have a lot of money. Her father is disappeared or dead or something. She's pretty certain he's dead, but it's not sure. She is trying to scrounge money. She's having to let the staff go. She's just trying to figure out how to make ends meet, and she comes across some paperwork that implies that there might be some money that she can get back. But it's been going to help pay for something to do with Mr. Hyde. Mr. Hyde was wanted by the police, or a Hyde. Hyde was wanted by the police. She's wondering if there's a reward, so she tracks this information down. She enlists the help of Sherlock and Watson. She finds out that the person that's being supported by this money is actually the daughter of Hyde. Mm-hmm. Now, again, going back, this is the daughter of Jekyll. Mm-hmm. So she has a sister. Mm-hmm. And this book, I mean, the author rolls in a lot of these characters from this time period in these great books. So there's a Frankenstein reference. There's the Island of Dr. Moreau is pulled into this. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch. The underlying story is that there are a bunch of scientists who are experimenting with things that they should not experiment with, and they have a bunch of daughters who are unfortunately caught up in all of this, who band together and they're solving mysteries. They're trying to, you know, save each other, and it's. Again, it's a mashup that could have gone horribly wrong, but it's so thoughtful and so well done, and she explains, like, they're not all written in the same time period, but she makes it work and explains it perfectly well.
Uh-huh.
It's a mild, nice version of Sherlock Holmes, who's sort of a mentor in it. But it's just, and it's the first of a series, like the third book is coming out this fall. And the reading of it is the person who's, Kate Redding does a fabulous job of doing this range of characters from Sherlock Holmes to Miss Hyde, who is kind of like early tween kind of age. I think maybe she's 8 at the start of it. But it's a range of characters. She does a great range of voices. And the story is actually really fun and funny. My one quirk about it is that people either will love it or hate some of the writing style in that the story is being told, written by one of the characters, but the other characters break in and say, can you really started that way?
Right.
Do you really? I mean, or she'll describe something that one of them says, and I did not say that. I would never say that.
That is
this
so
is dramatic license. I am writing this. You told me you wanted me to write this. We need the money if I'm writing. Or she'll slip in an ad. It's like, as I'm starting to read the second book, she's saying, as happened in the first book, The Strange Case of the Alchemist's Daughter, which you can buy for 2 pence.
That's great.
I mean, and when the second one comes around, the ladies are like, I don't think you should just put in a bunch of ads. Like, one was good. One fitted in.
Right.
We don't need to do more ads.
Well, that's so funny. Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, we're talking about one voice doing all of this and the break-ins, and it's just, it's funny, and there's a lot of suspense to it, too.
Right.
So it's just a fun one. And I, weirdly, all ages for, you know, I mean, it's because the ladies really are. And it's so I think, you know, older teens, older tweens would enjoy this, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Neat.
Cool. Anything else people want to slip in?
No, I can't think of anything offhand.
I think I'm good.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I'm going to say one more, just because I had read or listened to a book called Redemption in Indigo by Karen Lord. She does a lot with mythology and retellings and that sort of thing. And the Redemption in Indigo is actually the retelling of a Senegalese folktale. And it just has that fabulous formal and conversational echoes of Islander and African folktales. It's just, it's read that way. So, I mean, it feels like a fairy tale, and there's dialect in part of it, and it's just, it's a really great listen, and she has a new book coming out, but the audiobook doesn't come out until August. The new book is called Unraveling, and it's a little bit more, it's more contemporary. Uh-huh. Redemption in Indigo was contemporary, but it had a very, very kind of fantasy feel to it.
Uh-huh.
Unraveling is feels more contemporary, still has a fantasy feel, still has that sort of folklore myth style feel to it, but it's a much more twisty and weird book, and I'm really interested to hear the audio version of this one, so and I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
And I think that's where we're gonna leave it. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And everybody go listen to something great.
Yeah, happy reading, happy listening.
Exactly.
Happy summer.
Yes.
Yeah.